The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Glenn Beck.
Jihadist training camp found in New Mexico. That is the headline that should be everywhere in America today. Let me say it again. Jihadist terror camp found in New Mexico. It's not the one you're reading, though, is it? I would ask you to check out MSNBC to see how they're reporting this story. They don't really find it newsworthy, as just a few minutes before we went on the air. Imagine that. What about CNN? Their headline reads, "Children found in New Mexico compound training for school shootings," prosecutors say. That's their headline, which leads to all kinds of fake news on Twitter. All of the people saying, "Thanks, Dana Loesch and the NRA." All of the people who are now betting that this is an NRA member. Why? Because they're not including all of the details in the story. So let's do that for them. You decide what this story is about. Here's what we know so far. Police raided a remote New Mexico property last Friday. They were looking for a missing boy. Now, here are the details. See if there's an overriding theme here that might change a headline or two. A Georgia woman had reported that her sick son was kidnapped by her now separated husband. He had driven all the way from Georgia to New Mexico to perform an Islamic ritual on his son. It's called Rukya. Now, the arrest warrant claims the father wanted to perform an exorcism on his child, but the mother said it was a translation error. So now how can you screw up a word like exorcism? Well, I'll come back to it. See, if you use the word exorcism, now it's a compound training kids to shoot kids out in the middle of nowhere, and they're performing exorcisms. What does that sound like, Stu?
Let's see. It's a tough one.
Does it sound like a Muslim or a Christian camp?
I was going to go Jehovah's Witness.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Sure. Mm-hmm. The alleged kidnapper's name is Siraj Wahaj.
Ah, right in the pocket of the Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yep. Mm-hmm. His family, let's just say, has a little bit of a checkered background. His father is a New York City area imam that heads a mosque there.
No, it doesn't sound so bad.
No, it doesn't, except he was also named as an unindicted co-conspirator of the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. He was also a character witness for the defense of the blind friggin' sheep in 1995. A character witness. When police raided the New Mexico property, they found 11 children, ages 1 to 15. They were dirty, barely dressed, and had no food or water. People who do this for a living said this is the worst squalor they have ever seen children found in. The house was made into a makeshift protected compound with tires and wooden pallets, creating a fortified wall. Wahaj was armed with an AR-15 and four handguns. In total, five adults were arrested.
Thanks a lot, NRA.
Three women, all wearing Islamic headscarves, and two men. Got any themes yet? I mean, it sounds like...
Sounds like it's directly from the National Rifle Association.
Great. Great. Now, Islamic extremism may be involved here.
What?
Well, the Taos County Sheriff said the kidnappers were considered heavily armed and, quote, extremists of the Muslim belief, end quote. That's the police. And their quote, let me give you the CNN
what's their
headline
motivation?
Again.
What's their motivation?
Well, I don't know because
we may never know.
No, CNN headline is children found in New Mexico compound training for school shootings. Again, extremists of the Muslim belief, end quote. They also said the children were being trained to perform school shootings. Oh, and let me just go back to the exorcism, that messed up translation on the word exorcism. It's actually pretty easy to explain. And this does make you an extremist, I just want to point out. There is an exorcism It's a rite in Islam called, I think it's Ruqya. It's R-U-Q-Y-A. But jihadists use the same word as exorcism, or R-U-Q-U-A, when they pray over a sick person. And not just any sick person. When a Muslim believes that a child or someone else is sick due to Western medicine, they have to perform this ritual to get all of the Western out of them. You know, the Crusaders and their evil modern day medicines have to be taken out through religious ritual. They don't sound like Muslim extremists at all to me. Do you?
No, I haven't even sniffed a tie so far other than the police saying it directly.
So let me ask you this. How does anyone know these facts and write the headline, "Children found in New Mexico compound training for school shootings," prosecutors say? Well, prosecutors also said they were extremists of the Muslim belief. Isn't that interesting? Well, they don't want you to focus on this story because there's something else that came out overnight. This guy who was running this camp? Yeah, he was a... And I want to get this exactly right. If I have it here, do I have it? I have it. Yeah, here I have it. I want to use the exact words. He was a, quote, mentor, motivator, and encourager of mine. You know who said that? Linda Sarsour.
It's Thursday, August 9th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
All right, so let me just...
Who's Linda Sarsour?
Well,
who's that? Is that some right-wing activist? Gun activist, I bet. Is it Dana Lash's brother?
See, let me explain to anybody who doesn't listen to the show all the time, or if you happen to be listening, you know, at Media Matters or wherever. This is why Americans don't trust the press. Yesterday, they're still going on about collusion. They have nothing. They have opinions. They have speculation. And most of the news is opinions about speculation. They don't have any facts. But when they do have facts and it doesn't fit their narrative, they don't cover it. This is a really big story. When you look at just, forget about Linda Sarsour for a minute. When you just look that we have found a Muslim extremist terror training camp, and they were training children to go in and kill children, is there a more important story than that today? Is there a more important story than that today? I have said for a very long time, and if we have time today, we're going to cover this. Beslan is the thing that would destroy this country, would tear us apart. And that is what happened in Beslan, Russia. Chechenian extremists, Muslim extremists, went in on the first day of school and slaughtered these children. I mean, it was horrible. You might remember it. It happened right at the same time the Chechenian extremists took over the, I think it was a theater, a ballet or something like that in Moscow. And they ended up having to gas all of those people. This was horrifying, absolutely horrifying what happened. And it has been a shock to me. And thank you, FBI. It has been a shock to me that they haven't done this yet. Well, you're training 15 kids to go into schools and shoot people? What do you think that would do to us? And who do you think you'd be blamed on? Islam or the NRA? How many people would defend the actions of these terrorists and blame it on the NRA, even if they knew it was a Muslim extremist camp? I would think many in the press. So it's not just their agenda on the NRA that is making them leave out all of the Islamic extremists. It is also their I don't know, coddling of Islamic extremists, the out and out denial that these things are happening in our country. They don't want to say those things, but this story goes deeper. This story goes to Linda Sarsour. Now, who is Linda Sarsour?
One of the founders and heads of the Women's March.
Oh, really? You mean the Women's March that is going against Trump?
Yes.
The same Women's March that went and she brought all of these big leaders of all of these radical groups and the Democratic Party in to see Louis Farrakhan. But it was no big deal?
No big deal.
That lady. Okay. Linda Sarsour. You mean Linda Sarsour, the one who advises and counsels with the heads of the Democratic Party. That Linda Sarsour?
Mm-hmm.
Linda Sarsour came out at the last ISNA conference, and this is how she started her speech.
And to my favorite person in this room, that's mutual, is Imam Siraj Wahaj, who has been a mentor, a motivator, an encourager of mine, someone who has taught me to speak truth to power and not worry about the consequences, someone who has taught me that we are on this earth to please Allah and only Allah, that we are not here to please any man or woman on this earth. So I'm grateful to you, Imam Siraj. And you might think this is weird, but every once in a while when I get into that deep, a dark place, Imam Siraj comes and talks to me. And then he helps me to emerge out of those spaces. So I'm grateful to you, Imam Siraj. May Allah bless you and protect you and keep you for a long time for our community, because we need you now more than ever.
They need him now more than ever. Unfortunately, Allah did not protect him because his ass is rotten in jail today because he, her mentor, was training 15 kids to kill other kids. So you ask yourself, why isn't the media covering this? Well, because this will hurt the Democratic Party. That's why. That is the only reason why. This hurts the narrative of the left. The narrative of the left that all of Islam is peaceful. It is not. About 10% is not. And that's a lot of people. The Islamist states, they are cruel, brutal, and as bad as any Nazi ever was. But it's against women, not just Jews, women, homosexuals. What the hell are you doing? Fellow Americans who vote differently than me, but you still have compassion and a heart. What are you doing? These people want to kill. They want to kill homosexuals. They will abuse women. Yesterday, I posted something on Twitter. It's in Arabic. I guess maybe we could play it and I could read the translation to you. But it's an Arabic guy on the streets in the Middle East asking, what would you do if your sister went out and got a job? I'd kill her. That was the answer. I'd kill her. Why? Because she's dishonoring me. She's dishonoring my family. Over and over and over again. Please don't talk to me about how oppressive the hierarchy here in America is. Can we focus on something a little bigger? How can you possibly lay any ties down with people who believe that? Well, I don't know who those people are. Okay, we do know this. Linda Sarsour, a person the DNC is in bed with deeply. Linda Sarsour, somebody that the media all just airs like she is some princess from heaven. She's a radical. It's not a one-off that those people were sitting with Louis Farrakhan. It's not. This was her mentor. And America, this is the kind of fake news that is being squashed. This is why the media is not trusted, because we have her in her own words praising, saying he comes to her in her darkest times to counsel. He's a mentor. He's a killer. But the press can't even bring themselves to tell you that he's Muslim, let alone the ties to Linda Sarsour and the Democratic leadership. Is there a bigger story still? Has there been a bigger story since the Russian hacking of our
it's a huge story.
Huge story. I can't think of anything. The Russia story is big. But there's nothing new on it. There's nothing new on it.
It's big. Like your point on CNN is great. It's because it's like debating whether episode 9 of Star Wars is good or bad. And it's like, well, we can all kind of have our opinion about what we think it will be, but it hasn't been released yet.
So we don't know.
So when it's released, we can all look at it and say, okay, here it is. This is good. This is bad. Some people don't.
Look at it. Look at Stu. Look at Stu. Coming up next hour, we're going to be doing an hour on the Star Wars deniers. Those who believe you can't judge Star Wars yet because all the evidence isn't in. We all know the science on Star Wars Episode 9 is settled. Now, I want to take you to Palm Beach letter. Antika Tiwari is Crypto Course. Last night, he had 2 hours of question and answers online. And I think you can watch that again. They're going to rebroadcast it I think today or tomorrow. You can find out online. But there's something else that he does that's really, really good. And we asked him to do it. It's the Smart Crypto Course. SmartCryptoCourse.com. 97% of the people who go to the Smart Crypto Course give his currency course, his cryptocurrency course, a 4 or a 5 star rating. People, even people who thought they knew a lot about cryptocurrency, love it. People who didn't know anything, don't know what Bitcoin really is. They have no idea how the blockchain works. They have a handle on it as well. It's a really simple course, very informative, and waiting for you to take it. It's smartcryptocourse.com. You can call for more information, 877-PBL-BECK, 877-PBL-BECK, and get more information. But this is the future. Blockchain is something you need to understand. Take the Smart Crypto Course now. It's exclusive. You can check it out and go to smartcryptocourse.com. All right. Let me ask you a question. Let me show you the AP breaking news. This is on Twitter. Breaking. Court documents say man arrested at New Mexico compound was training children to commit school shootings. Is that true or is that fake news?
It's true. It's misleading.
Yes, it's incomplete.
Incomplete is the better word.
Yes. Because of its incompleteness, you get retweets like this. So he was an NRA member and a Donald Trump supporter. Probably funded by the NRA. Good guy with an NRA gun. I'm willing to bet he's an NRA member.
So ridiculous.
Thanks, Dana Loesch and the NRA.
I need to start a new business. And when these stories break, I just need to find all the people who say, I'm willing to bet that it's an NRA member. And then just bet them. Because they're always wrong.
Yes.
I mean, they're always wrong on these things.
Isn't that crazy? So you want to know what fake news is. Fake news happens because of incomplete news. For instance, on the Russia thing, we're arguing about fake news. Well, I can tell you what some of the facts are, but that's not what we're debating. We're not debating the facts. We're debating opinions about the facts, speculation. In the old days, a journalist, a head of a newsroom, would have come in. They would have come in and said, hey, we think we have this. Well, when you have it, let me know. When you have it, we'll run that.
It was a thing at a time.
Just now, like, it's not.
Just like horse-drawn carriages were a thing.
Yes.
They were a big thing for a while.
No,
it's about that old, I think.
No, but it is, but I think It would be more like going from like a Bugatti and then saying, we should go back to the horse carriage. No, the Bugatti was right in the first place. Check your sources when you have a fact. Report it,
Glenn,
and nothing else.
Beck, Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
By the way, we are going to be taking your phone calls today on television at 5 o'clock. Make sure that you join us live at 5, and we'll be taking your phone calls at the usual number, 888-727-BECK. We're going to try to take your phone calls a little bit today on the radio as well, if we can make the time. But we have a full half hour just to talk to you on the phones today, 5 o'clock, so you can voice your opinion and be heard. We're talking a little bit about what happened with the arrest of a group of people, men and women, Muslim extremists who were training children to shoot other children in school.
Yeah, just that we should clarify this, because I think some people are confused because it's the same name. The dad and the son have basically the exact same name.
Yes.
So there are two of them.
Junior and senior.
Right. So this is an understandable point of confusion here, because we didn't know anything about junior that was bad until yesterday.
Okay. Yeah, we know about senior.
Senior we've known was bad for a long time.
Unindicted co-conspirator. Also a character witness for the blind sheep. I can't even believe this guy is in America, let alone the guy that Linda would say, hey, by the way, he's a great guy and he's my mentor.
Right. So a lot of people are thinking, oh, well, no, it's not. You can understand the confusion when you say, hey, she was praising the son, who we didn't know anything bad about till yesterday. No. She's praising the blind sheik character witness and the unindicted co-conspirator of the 93 World Trade Center bottom.
The father who raised a son who thinks that it's right to follow Allah to train kids to kill other kids.
That's a...
Wow.
Wow.
I don't know which is worse. I don't honestly know which is worse.
I think the way it came out is worse. The fact that you're praising someone who has been known to be bad for two decades, if you happen to know someone...
And the father of the guy.
Right, like there could have been... There are a lot of people who were friends with the BTK killer at church.
Yeah.
They may have praised him in speeches like crazy, but not knowing he was the BTK killer.
Right.
She's praising someone she knows was an unindicted co-conspirator in the 93 World Trade Center bombing.
And you know
to
what?
To me, it's much worse.
It's also something else. Look, the crimes of the son do not go to the father, and the crimes of the father do not go to the son. However, in this case, I think you could have a pretty strong case. The guy who's saying, oh, the blind sheik, he is a prince of a guy. I love him. And a co-conspirator in terrorist operations. He's raising a son who's just a terrorist. I mean, that's not like...
Following the same exact ideology.
You're following the same ideology.
Again, okay. And what's interesting about here is not... there's a huge, massive point here to be made about Islamic extremism and the dangers we face. The point with Linda Sarsour, however, is Linda Sarsour has been embraced by the mainstream left. The Women's
media
March
too.
Was something that was universally praised by the left and the media. And that's her baby. That's her. And she is the one saying, my mentor is a person who is an unindicted co-conspirator in an attack on the World Trade Center.
But see, this doesn't
matter.
Wait. This doesn't matter. We now have her connected to the father of the son who was training kids here in America to shoot children in school. Mm-hmm. Okay. Clear connection. And I'm sorry, but I don't buy that, the son is just a fallen apple. He fell way far from the tree. Don't buy it. Here, let me teach you a little something about Linda Sarsour, okay? Here's a quote from her. When I wasn't wearing a hijab, I was just some ordinary white girl from New York City, but wearing a hijab made you know that I was a Muslim. So I don't even know what that means. Does that mean I'm white, but if I put the hijab on, I'm suddenly a person of color and oppressed? I don't even know what that means. She is the Obama White House designated champion of change. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio sought out her endorsement. Bernie Sanders used her as a surrogate in his presidential campaign. Most recently, she is the lead organizer of the Women's March, also the lead plaintiff in a lawsuit against President Trump's immigration order. But who is she? Well, she came out of nowhere about 2003. She's a Palestinian-American community activist who served as the executive director of the Arab American Association of New York since 2005. She's a board member of the Democratic, the Muslim Democratic Club of New York, and a member of the Justice League. Holy cow, I didn't know. She knows Wonder Woman.
That's
I wonder
pretty cool.
if she's ever been in the plane. Now, she claims to be a champion of Muslims, but in 2003, this is what she said about Saddam Hussein after he was captured. I think he's done a lot of things that he shouldn't have done, but I was hurt. My Arab pride was hurt. Palestinians are under so much oppression, and no other Arab country has ever helped them. Okay, Linda, how many Muslims did Saddam Hussein kill? How many Arabs? How many Palestinians? You don't excuse his murderous regime because he might be with you on a couple of other things. She claims to be a champion of human rights. However, she has boasted that she has family members and friends in the terror group Hamas. In a 2004 article, it appeared on the Columbia Graduate School of Journalism website, Sarsour acknowledged that a friend of hers, as well as her cousin, were both, Sarsour's cousin, were both serving long sentences, 99 years and 25 years, in Israeli jails because of their efforts to recruit jihadists to murder Israelis. Moreover, she revealed that her brother-in-law was serving 12 years in Israeli prison because of his affiliation with Hamas. So she's a champion of human rights. She's added women's rights, of course, to her convenient activism. She's one of the main co-founders of the Women's March. So you know she loves women. Have you ever heard of the name Ayaan Hirsi Ali?
Mm-hmm.
Who is she, Stu?
Relatively, I mean, certainly well known, I think, to conservatives.
Yes.
And people, she's, I would say, part of the ideological, intellectual dark web.
I would think so.
She is very outspoken and honest about what she's gone through.
She's the only person, I've interviewed presidents.
Yeah.
She's the only person I've ever interviewed that had a Secret Service agent stand at the camera lens, right next to the main camera. Never had that before. Never seen that with anyone.
Mm.
Her security is so tight because Muslims want to kill her.
Yep.
Because she was sold by her parents to somebody, I think, in Canada. I can't remember exactly. So she was coming from the Middle East. They had to make a stop somewhere in the Netherlands. She got off the plane. She immediately took off her hijab and she changed her name and disappeared. Okay. She lived in the Netherlands for a while and taught herself. I mean, she pulled herself up. She's really smart. She's an amazing woman. She was subjected to female genital mutilation. Okay. She tells a horrifying story of what it's like to be a woman in radicalized Islam. Here's what Linda Sarsour said about her. I wish I could take her vagina away. She doesn't deserve to be a woman.
Mm.
This is the champion of women? She also defends Saudi Arabia's treatment of women. In November 2014, in a tweet, she derided critics of Sharia law in Saudi Arabia for worrying about women driving. The fact that religious custom in a country bars women from driving automobiles, it's much more significant that Saudi women receive 10 weeks of paid maternity leave, which puts us to shame. You can't leave your house without an escort of a man.
But the maternity leave policy is solid.
Great. Most recently, she has been accused of enabling sexual assault and body shaming while she was the executive director of the American Arab American Association. Quoting one of the victims, she oversaw an environment unsafe and abusive to women. Now, this happened in the Me Too time. This has happened in the last 18 months. How come she hasn't been outed? Witnesses have corroborated the story that a female staffer working for Sarsour was sexually assaulted by a man multiple times, and Sarsour dismissed the allegations because the accused was, quote, a good Muslim and was always at the mosque, end quote. Imagine saying that.
Oh, my God.
Well, he's always at church. So he's a good Catholic.
A okay.
He's a good Christian. He's always at church. No one would accept that in the media.
No.
She also said that there was no way any man would want to do such a thing to this victim because she was, quote, too fat, end quote. The accuser claimed that Sarsour threatened legal and unprofessional damage or professional damage if any of this information ever came out. Just wait until more people start to talk, she said. Sarsour is no champion of women. The accuser said she's an abuser of them. Sarsour has also added Black Lives Matter to her list of causes because she's a friend of the African American. Except in 2016 in Chicago, she said, and I quote, "The sacrifice the black Muslim slaves went through in this country is nothing compared to the Islamophobia today."
What?
But she's a friend of the African American as well. Now, I just would like to point something out. Do you know who went into the jungles? Who went into the mainland of Africa and rounded people up? Were they white people? They were actually, for the most part, Muslims. They were Muslims who felt they had a right through Islam to round up those infidels that were not Muslim or not Muslim enough and sold them to the white slave traders. A little fact of history that has been left out. And so the sacrifice of black Muslim slaves is kind of hard to believe, seeing that Muslims wouldn't sell a fellow Muslim in if they were Muslim enough. Nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. And if you think that this woman is any less dangerous than Alex Jones, this woman is not being ridiculed in public all the time. This woman is not like Alex Jones that has no hands on any levers of power. She does. She's starting movements. She's consulting with the DNC. And she thinks she has a right to, you know, and this is not hate speech in any way, shape or form. This is no big deal. You know, she just thinks that some women that she deems should have their vaginas taken away from them because they don't deserve to be women. By the way, if you just joined us, why are we talking about her? Well, she's good pals with Dad, who was a co-conspirator, unindicted co-conspirator, and also a character witness for the Blind Sheik in 95. And he also raised the guy that was training children to kill children here in America, a compound that has just been raided by the FBI. Thank you, FBI. All right. Hiring people is a real challenge. I mean, if you are the DNC, where do you go, Stu? I mean, you know, you're looking for somebody that is, you know, not connected to the Blind Sheik, you know, not friendly with the family.
Yeah.
Doesn't want to take people's vaginas away. Where do you go? That's a pretty high cliff to climb.
Well, the phone book's almost empty after you take those things out. I mean, there's almost no one left.
There's almost no one left. So you'd think that you'd be able to find somebody pretty easily, but no.
No.
May I recommend to the DNC and also to you that if you're looking for the right candidate, It's a pretty low bar, but I think you can find them.
We're going to be talking later on in the program about the Chinese spy that worked for Dianne Feinstein.
For 20 years.
Dianne should probably pull ZipRecruiter up.
Yeah.
You know, maybe sort through the Chinese spies before you make your hires.
Right. Are you a Chinese spy? Mm-hmm. Are you Chinese? That should be, I don't want any Chinese spies. You can put that in with ZipRecruiter, okay? ZipRecruiter will not only send it out, but then they send it to 100 job boards to post, but then they know that there are people that aren't going to see that. And so they scour the internet, they scour all of the resumes to see who's out there and they that really fit, and they invite them to apply for your job. That's why in the first day, most people get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's ZipRecruiter. Try it out for free now. ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Beck. You know, we have got to reunite all of these children with their parents. How dare you? How dare you say we should have a DNA test or I want some sort of identification? They're just families coming across the border. Am I right?
Thank you for finally admitting that.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Ramon Pedro entered the U.S. this April through a port of entry in Texas, where he claimed that the girl he was accompanying, that he was with, was his daughter.
Oh, that's nice. Nice father-daughter date. Daddy-daughter date.
Yep. Just going out. Just with my dad.
Yeah.
He likes to take me across the border. Unfortunately, when they went into the hospital for a TB screening, the staff found out that Pedro was being was sexually assaulting this little girl.
Oh.
In fact, no, that was not his daughter at all. Oh, well, it's only one case. Can we stop, please, and look at reason? We would never accept these kinds of rules for our children. Why would we expect less for
Glenn
others?
Beck, Mercury. Glenn Beck.
Get ready, because socialism is coming, or at least a version of socialism. Let's call it campus socialism. You know, the kind of socialism that you can enjoy while sipping your Vente Soy Latte at Starbucks and posting anti-Trump memes on Reddit. The latest example is Rashida Tlaib. She won the Democratic primary in Michigan's 13th district, and she's going to run unimposed in the November general election. Here she is speaking with CNN about her motivation for running for Congress.
You were actually at an event, a Trump speech. This was 2 years ago in Detroit, and you, along with several others, were forcibly removed from that speech for heckling. I mean, you tell me, Rashida, how much of your decision to run was shaped by this president?
Look, I say this a lot to people, but it's true. I think President Trump being there in office, getting elected, was kind of a bat signal for women across the country. It was like, it's our time. We have to march on, and we can't stand outside of the ring anymore. We have to actually run for office, and we have to demand to have a seat at the table, because it's obvious that everything else is falling apart. And to have someone like him in office that talks like him, I mean, our children have to watch that, you know, hear that language and watch that kind of behavior. And so absolutely, I think a lot of that drive does come from, you know, President Trump being in office.
Okay.
And the culture and atmosphere.
Here's a woman who is running as a Democrat because things are falling apart and it's Donald Trump's fault. And she's speaking to us from the great city of Detroit. So first thing you should do is check out the video. It is not the kind of unhinged behavior you want from an elected official, at least not one for me. She was one of 14 protesters ejected from a luncheon for heckling. You have to see it, because she didn't go without a fight. Security literally had to drag her out backwards as she was screaming and wagging her finger. Now, in an interview with Detroit Free Press after the incident, she said, "We need to be heard. You cannot stay silent. You know, he doesn't love Detroit. He doesn't love no one who isn't Donald Trump." Help me out with that sentence, please, Stu.
He doesn't love someone.
Yeah, he doesn't love no one who isn't Donald Trump. Okay, so ridiculous statement. You know, it's easy to shrug off. If the entire argument, her entire argument is that that he's a monster that doesn't love Detroit, and that allowed her to beat five Democrats. The media has celebrated this so-called rise of women against Trump. They've rejoiced that she will be the first Muslim member of Congress. They love the fact that she's the daughter of Palestinian immigrants.
Wait, she won't be the first, right? Keith Ellison.
First Muslim woman.
First Muslim woman. Got it.
All of these things are just, I mean, that's just a feast for them. The very thought that they can check so many of the virtue points floods them with elation. So let's go back to the idea. One of her prime objectives is to impeach President Trump. Here's what she said. Quote, she didn't cite her. She doesn't cite any of the grounds for impeachment because she believes, and I quote, Donald Trump has committed a number of crimes that will come to light when we start the impeachment hearings, end quote. I think that's the Inquisition. We could spend a week on pointing out the hypocrisy in this statement, but perhaps it's better just to keep it short. It's time for all of us to get our houses in order, or else tantrums like these are going to keep happening and happening, and we are going to send more and more really angry people to Washington, and that's not a good thing. Because angry people, they make less and less sense the more angry they become.
It's Thursday, August 9th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I'm going to take phone calls tonight at 5 o'clock on the TV show. Just a half hour of just you and me. Voice your opinion and tell me where I've got it right. Tell me where I've got it wrong. Whatever you want to talk about. The number is 888-727-BECK. You can call now for the radio show or 5 p.m. Eastern. I would suggest that you call a few minutes earlier. Get lined up for the show. Starts at 5 p.m. Eastern, only on the Blaze TV. All right. Let me go to Dan in Georgia. Hello, Dan.
Hey, Glenn. How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good, but I'm extremely frustrated.
Oh, boy.
I think I have a bone to pick with you guys, but I want to give you an opportunity to clear it up.
All right. So you're not outraged, but you could be outraged.
I am outraged.
Oh, you're outraged.
I'm outraged with you.
Okay, but you're outraged with me.
I do have a bone to pick with you.
All right.
No, okay. I'm not outraged with you.
Okay.
I might be outraged with Stu.
Yeah. All right. A lot of people feel that way.
Yeah. He is such
I'm a jerk.
He's a ticking timer.
Oh, he's Stu. Right.
All right. So go ahead, Dan.
Jeff, he's in jail. Okay. So you just played a clip from the AP, or not a clip, but you read the title from an AP presser where they completely omitted facts, whether they did that intentionally or not intentionally. Who knows?
Okay, hang on just a second. I am willing to speculate that they did that intentionally, and I don't have it sitting in front of me, but it was an AP story about the arrest of this guy that had a compound, and he was training children to kill children in school shootings. They never mentioned that he was Islamic. They never mentioned that this was Islamic extremist compound. They left all of that out.
Right, exactly. Now, yes. On a side note, I don't want to get sidetracked, but your top of the hour brief that you just had,
yes.
The girl that gave the headline,
yes.
Also admitted all those facts except one quick statement of had ties to Islamic terror camp in the past. I think there was one small little thing in there, but never mentioned his background and... So just so you know that, but that's not my
okay. Well, I will check with the newsroom. I don't know why they would do that.
But again, so they admitted it, omitted it, except when they said it.
Well, but
they only said one little spot about the compound having ties in the past, but they didn't talk about the seriousness of it today, like you are.
Yes. Okay.
You brought a whole new light to it today that nobody knew about until they listened to your show.
That's my job.
So I thank you for that.
Okay.
I'm just letting you know your top of the hour presser missed that.
And I appreciate that. We'll check into it.
Donald Trump sits out there on an island by himself, and this is what I'm irritated about. And he's telling us how the fake news media is the number one enemy of the American people. And if we cannot get on board and agree with that statement right now more than ever to know that the fake news omitting facts consistently, omitting facts and making up stories is the reason why these compounds like this can exist. That is the number one threat to America is when you have a 15-year-old child with an AR-15 lining up to go into a school to mow down his peers, That's an issue. That is a threat, and they are weaponizing the First Amendment to use in a war against the American people. And we are not doing anything about it.
Okay,
we laugh about it. We joke about it.
No.
We started a media company.
We
here,
started
you know?
A media company. we are doing things about it. We are educating right now. Here's what you're looking for from me. I think you're trying to say, why won't I say that the media is an enemy of the people?
No. You'll never say that. And I don't believe the media is the enemy of the people, but I believe the fake news media is the enemy of the American people.
Define that for me. Define that for me.
News that is fake. Fake news. Well, just that, exactly that.
Define fake news for me. I mean, if you're saying
misleading
that
headlines,
like what?
Yeah, but who is that? Because by saying that, that means different things to different people. If I say, you know, fake news, enemy of the people, there's a lot of people that are on the left that will say, yeah, I know, that's why we got to shut Fox down. And you'd say that on the right, and they'll say, that's why we need to shut CNN down. You have to be more specific than that.
You're absolutely right. And you have the platform to do that. And that's what I'm at. That's where I have a bone, is I don't know where you stand in support when Donald Trump says those statements.
I do not support the statement that the press is the enemy of the people. I understand what he's saying when he says fake news is the enemy of American people. But I would state it as apathy, arrogance, and self-imposed ignorance is the enemy of the American people. There has never been a time in history, ever, where you have the ability to find the truth, where it is so easy, it is in your pocket. There used to be a time when I've done radio now for 40 years, and there used to be a time when I didn't know a fact. I'd have to call the research department at the library, and I would say, can you look this up for me? And they'd say, okay, sure. Depending on the question, it could take days to get the answer. Unless you worked at a giant newspaper or giant network or television station that had tons of researchers, you couldn't find this information. Dan, you can find the truth right now. It's not just that people will take the AP story, which I showed you, had nothing to do with Islam, had nothing to do with the extremists. These guys are extremist Muslims. They left it entirely out. What happened? People retweeted and commented, NRA. Thanks, Dana Lash. Oh, look, another NRA lover. Okay, who's doing the false media? The AP left out critical information. That's bad, but that's not fake news. But people spreading it with the comment above it saying, here's another NRA member. That's fake news. So who do I go to?
I think too, like, we have to look at this and his comments through that construct of the Selena Zito construct of seriously and not literally. Like, if I take Trump's point literally that the press is the biggest, the fake news media is the biggest foe or enemy of the American people, that's to me a patently ridiculous statement. To the point of when you talk about the thing that we're mad at them not covering, Islamic extremism, is a much bigger threat to the American society than even than anything the media could ever do.
Yeah, but I understand.
However, I understand when you take it seriously, what he's saying is the media is really bad at times.
Yes.
And they do some of them do really bad things and they report on things falsely. Not all of his examples are accurate, but some of them are. You know, like if you
take it seriously, not literally, but mm-hmm. seriously.
Right.
The university system is the biggest enemy to the republic. It is. It just is.
The university system. See, I mean, I wouldn't agree with that either. Literally, I wouldn't agree with
that. No, I didn't say literally.
Seriously. It is a big problem.
Can you name a bigger one? It's churning out people who know nothing.
Right. But I mean, you know, China and the Russia are bigger threats to the American people than the university system.
I believe...
Well, it doesn't matter.
But
I mean,
again,
but we're, right. you can
is
argue
pro-
that. But
right, that's the point. Is it a problem? Yes, we can agree that it's a problem. The same thing with Trump, right? Like, I can totally agree that there are massive problems with the media. Mm-hmm. You know, we have a story coming up from Vox, which, you know, Ezra Klein, who is making a point that I can't believe he's trying to make, right? However, Vox is also the source of going down the cost of the Democratic Socialist programs and pegging it at $218 trillion. Mm-hmm. Is Vox fake news? Sometimes they say things I think are completely false. Sometimes they do really good work. So it's hard to...
Did you read the end of my book yet?
Yes.
Okay. Did you see the part where I'm talking about that thing on how do you decide what's fake and what's not?
Yeah.
And sources.
It's an endless... For the average person, an almost too steep to climb, but it's something that needs to be done.
But when you're looking at sources, does that source occasionally piss you off? If it doesn't occasionally piss you off, they are only placating you. They're only serving what they know you want to consume.
Right. You should get pissed off occasionally.
Who is one of the
challenged
in our lifetime? Who is known as one of the best journalists ever? I think they even have an award named after him in our lifetime.
I mean,
Tim Russert.
Oh yeah, Russert always gets the.
Why did
the
you
props.
Like Tim Russert?
Yeah, he pissed off both sides.
Yes, yeah. He would go after one side, and then he would go after the other side just as hard every single episode. If somebody is not pissing you off, they're not doing their job.
And we're doing, 20 hours a week of this stuff between TV and radio, and not to mention all the other things. If you don't come to a show like this and listen for a long period of time and not get challenged in what you believe, what's the point of coming here? I mean, we could sit here, do a half hour saying everything that we think you agree with and just repeat it. If that's what you want. I don't think that's what people want.
No, it's
people
not.
Want to be. I know this audience, at least. I think there are people out there that just want that.
This audience
over a decade, we've seen this constantly. They want to be challenged. They want to be pushed. They want to be so solid in their principles that when someone comes up to them and makes a point they had never heard before, they want to be able to have a foundation in that topic. They want to know why they believe what they believe. They don't want to just spout some tweet they heard some guy say. And this is not a 140 character show.
And here's the thing. There are sins of commission and sins of omission. Mm. And I take them seriously on both sides. The sins of commission, Russia. People intentionally lying. Sins of omission, AP leaving out all of the Muslim extremist stuff. That dramatically changes the story. That is a sin of omission, and it's just as bad. It's just as bad. So both of those. But words matter. Words do matter. And if you want to try to make friends and influence people, you have to be careful today with your words. And I'm not talking about being PC. I'm saying let's say what we mean and mean what we say. We are not at war with the press. We are now at war. No, we can't even say war. We are now struggling to find how to find the truth. Because the truth does exist. Maybe not the complete truth. But we need to know what the truth is, what we're looking for, when it's incomplete. For instance, the Donald Trump thing. Any real journalist would say, okay, well, when you have something, let me know. But they don't have anything. So they're giving opinion on speculation on what they could have. Well, that's not news. That's not news. That's speculation. And that's different. And we've confused the two of those. The media has done that. Well, that's a problem. And that relies on you. Nobody else. You. To do your own homework. All right, I want to tell you about Goldline. They've got a new... I don't know. What would you call this? Card? It's the Maple Flex. And it looks like a credit card.
I think the size of a credit card, yeah.
And it's solid silver. It's made of four pure silver Maple Flex coins, bars. What are they?
I always think of it like a Carmelo bar. Remember Carmelo?
Yeah.
Where you could kind of just like break off the individual pieces yes. of chocolate and caramel, yeah. which now I really want.
Yeah. Well, this one, if you look at this, these are the smallest pieces of silver. And it's kind of like a Kit Kat.
Yeah.
You break it off. Yeah. It's a Kit Kat that will give you a lot more than just one taste of chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
It's 19 individual bars that make up 2 ounces of silver. And it's an innovative design. We actually asked them to the Canadian Mint to make these. This is all currency. It's, you know, it's all, it's made for barter, but it is legitimate, you know, printed by the Canadian Mint currency.
Real silver.
And you just kind of snap it apart, and then you have coins, if you will.
And the thought is,
if they're all silver,
if things really hit the fan, you have something that you can easily break up for barter or whatever you might need. Plus, it's really cool.
Yeah. It is really cool. Yeah. It can be put into your IRA or whatever. But if things really hit the fan, if we see kind of, you know, any kind of real inflation, this is going to be worthwhile. 10 120 ounce bars, 5 110 ounce bars, 4 1/4 ounce bars, all pure silver, guaranteed for its weight and purity by the Royal Canadian Mint. It is really made for investment and also for barter should things really go crazy. But don't worry about that. What could happen in today's world? It's the Maple Flex Bar, available now at Goldline. Call them. They're waiting for your call now. Get the information, 1-866-GOLDLINE, 1-866-GOLDLINE or goldline.com. So, my new book, Addicted to Outrage, comes out in September, and I want you to pick it up because it will show you a few things that I think we're missing on being able to argue to win, and it makes a strong case for not only for you but your friends that may not be as in touch. On what's happening to us, why it's happening, and why we have to stop our addiction to outrage. And then gives you some tips on how to do that. I'm going to go into that just real quick next.
Bought some Powerball tickets the other day. Turned them in. $4 I won. Yeah, I know. I'm thinking about retiring. Problem is I did spend $20 on the tickets to win the $4, and I'm not sure financially how that works out in the end, but I'm pretty sure it's a good investment. I'm not maybe the best investment guy in the universe, but I do know how to pick a good real estate agent. That's because I know people who know how to do it. You know, it's not me. I just go to realestateagentsitrust.com. Realestateagentsitrust.com. This is a website you can go to that will go through all the agents in your area, find the best ones, see who's had the most success, see who has the best consistent reviews and character, see who knows the business better than anybody. And then you get to pick that person. You don't have to worry about sifting through a bunch of really terrible agents. You get the best at the beginning. If you need to sell your house fast and for the most money, or if you're looking to buy, go to realestateagentsitrust.com. It's realestateagentsitrust.com.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So I was reading a book last night. It's called Addicted to Outrage by Glenn Beck.
Wow, that's good.
Yeah.
Comes out in September.
I got an early copy, though.
Yeah.
Because I'm lucky.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the parts you were talking about, and I think this ties into what you were discussing last half hour, is the science behind the way you talk to people about something you might disagree with, disagree upon, and including the way that, you know, if you are, let's say, to, you know, talk about something that you made a mistake on, it opens them up to admit that they made a mistake on something.
So here's what that actual science is. And this is why words matter, and we have to change our approach. We have to change our approach. And you cannot be an absolutist, because absolutists make no impact. No impact. But if you start a conversation with somebody and you're at a disagreeing, you're arguing about something, find something that you were wrong about and say, look, I just want you to know, hang on. I'm not that guy. I can tell you that I used to believe this. I used to say this and I was wrong about that. So I'm not that guy. Now, here's what I'm saying. Researchers found that I can't remember the exact number, but it is a high percentage. You go from zero impact to being able to influence somebody's mind between 60% and 90%, to where they're all of a sudden they drop the shield and they go, oh, okay, all right. So it's important that we change our language and we change our approach. Otherwise, we're just going to be screaming over top of each other. That's why when Trump says it's the enemy of the people, I want to give you a story, hopefully next hour, from Ezra Klein. It's the same argument. It's the same argument. He is making an argument that, you know, kill white people doesn't actually mean kill white people. To the people on the left, they understand what that means. Kill the hierarchy, and doesn't actually mean kill. It means that the hierarchy is oppressive and should be changed. Okay, well, that's not what you said when you said kill white people. When you say enemy of the press, that means something to you, and it may mean something entirely different to the left. And by not being careful with your words, you immediately put shields up and nobody's going to listen. That's why it's really important to be careful, because there are really important issues. We're under attack from all sides. In fact, let me bring Ben Weingarten in. He's a podcast host, Big Ideas with Ben Weingarten. He started his own media company. He's, I think, from the first graduating class of the Blaze, and also with the Federalist. Ben, welcome to the program.
Glenn, thanks so much for having me on.
So I wanted to talk to you about this article that you wrote about Dianne Feinstein, because this is something that is really being buried, and I think this is a really big deal. She is in trouble now because apparently there was a spy in her office for about 20 years, a Chinese spy. Can you first give me any details that we have for sure on that?
Yeah, and of course the media accounts differ from what she tweeted out, and a couple basically trying to obfuscate and deflect from the story. But this employee, the person who matches all the descriptions that we've seen in the media, worked for her for 20 years, was listed most recently as an office director out in her California office. He was her driver, listed as her gopher for a bunch of assignments, and also her liaison to the Asian community, where, of course, naturally, he would have coordinated and communicated with Chinese authorities, among others. And what we've been told by her and the media is that about 5 years ago, she found out that this employee, through the FBI, was being investigated as a potential recruit of essentially China's KGB or FSB, their Ministry of State Security. And she says that she was mortified, and immediately he was let go or fired. It's not exactly entirely clear.
Yeah, she said, I learned the facts and made sure the employee left my office immediately.
Right, right. And of course, based upon our knowledge, and given that this person, it appears, is operating freely right now, working for a quote-unquote social justice foundation out in California, which appears to be actually doing a campaign that Chinese propagandists love to propagate, an anti-Japanese one regarding comfort women, it seems like he was never prosecuted, never paid any sort of price. He was just let go and continues to operate freely.
Okay, so wait a minute. Can I just, I mean, I know this is not the crux of the story here, but can you give me the comfort women story? What? Who cares about? I mean, what is the social justice cause on that one?
Well, the cover for the story, and there's a great piece in a publication called Asia Times, which talks about how the Chinese, of course, are engaged in all sorts of propaganda campaigns, information warfare, which we care about so much when it comes to the Russians, but have ignored when it comes to the Chinese, who are probably a far greater threat to us. Essentially, they've engaged in a campaign to focus on Japan's human rights violations during World War II, so-called comfort women, essentially taking female prisoners and pimping them out effectively.
The Japanese in some cases, were worse than the Germans. I mean, they were awful, just awful. But what's the point?
So the Chinese like to propagate this story and basically try to cause a backlash against the Japanese, force them to recognize this and repent, etc., as a means of deflecting from China's modern-day human rights.
Okay.
So they have a propaganda effort to hurt the Japanese and make themselves look better.
Okay, but
he works for the Justice Foundation, the apparent spy who was let go, that deals with putting forth that message.
So does anybody care that he was just let go? Why did the FBI say they had a spy and then she dismissed him and then they just let him go?
Well, they claim that what he was passing along to the Chinese Ministry of State Security was political intelligence, quote unquote. So not anything that would have ever threatened national security and that he never accessed sensitive information, etc. But that really doesn't pass muster when you consider he's in her office for 20 years. And let's put Dianne Feinstein's seniority into perspective here. This was someone who was the chairwoman of the Senate Select Intelligence Committee.
Jeez.
So a committee in the Senate that's dealing with the most sensitive, highly classified, top secret kind of information. So imagine someone with the access, even if he was just a driver, which I really don't believe based upon what we've discovered, even if he was just a driver, well, she's having calls about very sensitive issues, or potentially there are listening devices within the automobiles in which she was driven around in her office. I mean, you're talking about someone of a very high rank who had a relationship with the Chinese for 40 years in addition to this one person in her office. And you're telling me that potentially there couldn't have been great exposure to sensitive information. And then the crux of this story is that she has this person in her office. The media is minimizing the story. But the entire missed part of it is that she's had connections to the highest levels of the Chinese Communist Party for 40 years. Ever since we opened up diplomatic relations with China, Dianne Feinstein has had direct ties to them. And while she's taken a very pro-Chinese line in terms of expanding trade, dovishness when it comes to the military, and then apologizing for China's human rights violations, and it's all right there in this article laid out, while all that was happening, her husband's investment portfolio was swelling with China-related investments that clearly, directly, and at the very least, indirectly benefited from the policies she was supporting. So that's a massive story that's being completely missed and dismissed by this idea that there was one guy low-ranking in her office who was let go immediately, and there was no national security ramification to it.
So, Ben, here's the problem. You know, we were just talking about fake news and, you know, that the press is the enemy of the people, which, no, ignorance and apathy is the real enemy to the republic. We all have a responsibility. The press leaves things out. They drop stories, they underplay stories and overplay others for their own agenda. We all know that. What do you suggest? Because the media, we can't change the media. What do you suggest is done with, I mean, we have two stories today. Yours, the one that you're talking about here. We also have the story where they were, you know, hey, look, this guy was just out in the, you know, the boonies, and he just made a compound. He brought some kids, and he was a religious zealot. No, he was an Islamic extremist. This was an Islamic terror camp here in the United States, and there's a link to Linda Sarsour. That's not being covered. That's not being covered. So what do we do, Ben?
Yeah, well, in this case, I think you have to look to the silent majority. And if there is a big enough backlash in the public, even if, quote-unquote, mainstream sources, and by the way, I mean, I consider mainstream sources basically the communications arm of the Democratic Party. So you have to assume that they are going to minimize and ignore any story that doesn't serve a narrative that they care about. And in this case, I think in their minds, they hate this narrative because it's contrasting Dianne Feinstein and China versus Donald Trump and Russia. And here you have an actual spy and actual policies that were pro-China, an actual conflict of interest on the business side. And they don't want to make that contrast with Trump. But I actually think that the political part of this is far secondary to the national security implications, mm-hmm. and also the idea that a power like China would try to go after our government and cultivate a relationship for 40 years with Dianne Feinstein, and I have to imagine all sorts of other politicians, because they're very strategic with this stuff. And let's put it in even bigger context. China conducted that Office of Personnel Management hack, where they stole the information on well over 20 million government employees and applicants to be in government. Information that is the most compromising information possible. The profile the government takes to make sure no foreign power, if they find out about this stuff, can compromise you and go after you and your family. China also destroyed our informant network on their mainland, yes, killed our CIA operations there. So put Feinstein in that broader context, and I think there needs to be an outrage and a call for holding the other side up to account, which is, if we really care about foreign meddling, well, China is a far more dangerous threat than Russia, but let's explore foreign meddling from all powers, whether it's China, Russia, Pakistan, Iran, North Korea, and let's hold all of our politicians to account. And I do think if there is a big enough outrage, politicians don't like outrage, so the only way this becomes a story is if there is public pressure, and that requires us communicating around, unfortunately, a media that is totally in the tank and doesn't want to deal with these stories. And I think ultimately what you'll see if this story continues to build and as people to continue to dig on this is that Feinstein will be called to account, but I think you're going to see other people in government close rank around her. And that makes it an even bigger scandal, yes, potentially.
I think, Ben, you're exactly right. It doesn't stop with her. And it doesn't stop with the Democratic Party. I mean, both parties are very dirty from foreign money. You didn't do just one person for 40 years and leave it at that, or one side. You got to make bets on several fronts. Ben, thank you so much. You can find this story right now at The Federalist. You can also find it at BenWeingarten.com. BenWeingarten.com.
And we'll tweet it as well from Matt Glenn Beck and at World of Stu in case you want to read it. It's an in-depth read, and there's a lot of information to take in. A lot of questions it causes you to ask. And we don't yet have all the answers.
Simply Safe Home Security. Great security system, fantastic protection, very easy to use. That's why they have just been, they've just become a $1 billion company, which is
incredible. Like we knew them when there was like five people there.
Yeah. But, you know, I think we have taken clients. I think we have made 5 or 6 companies $1 billion companies. They started with us. And over a period of a few years, they've become $1 billion companies. It's amazing.
I mean, just saying to, you know, maybe kick us back some is what we're saying.
That's all I'm saying.
A couple of yachts. You don't need all that money.
Yeah. Here's
at some point, you've earned enough money.
Yeah, right. You're not even going to notice it. Here's the thing. Those companies, it's not because of us. It's because they're the right companies. They're great companies. Mm-hmm. They now protect over 2 million people. It's comprehensive protection around the clock with professional monitoring and police dispatch. You get protection against intruders and fires and leaks and burst pipes. I think the fire alarm just says, you're in California. You're in California. Simply Safe. They keep working during the power outages, downed Wi-Fi, even if somebody tries to smash your keypad. And there's no contract. You own the system. It's incredibly inexpensive. You're going to save a buttload of money just on that. And their monitoring every month is only $14.99 if you want it. You don't have to have it. It's a perk if you want it, and there's no contract. Cancel. It's month to month. Simply Safe. Order your system now at simplysafebeck.com, and you'll save 10%. Simplysafebeck.com.
Glenn Beck.
We have to make time for pet food, Stu. We have to.
It's an interesting sentence.
Oh, let's listen to this. Listen to this. When my boyfriend and I got our first cat, Pete, a long-legged tuxedo cat.
Pete.
We fed him Friskies. Depending on the type of person you are, you either breeze through that sentence finding nothing remarkable, or you immediately judged me for buying pet food. Pet. Food made up of ground chicken bones, beef tallow, soybean hulls, and other delightful byproducts. I know this. I know because we were at the time living in Berkeley, California. Pete came to us from a relative in Kentucky, and as to make things easier, we fed him the same Friskies that he had been happily devouring. But we're not monsters. this story is about to get great when Pete's parents go into a Berkeley pet food store and the guy says, so what are you feeding? What has his diet been? Friskies. Oh my. They are treated horribly and made to feel that they're horrible human beings, and they believe they are. And the lengths they now go to show they're not monsters. It's great. Coming up.
Glenn Beck.
Has your absurdometer broken off? The needle on mine is bent. It just gets pegged every day. This what's happening with the left and the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh is, well, it busted my absurdometer. I don't even know. I mean, how many Connecticut primary voters realize that Kavanaugh, the guy who's supposedly licking his chops to get there and take your abortion rights away, he's moving into your uterus. How many people in Connecticut know that he hasn't been confirmed yet? That the confirmation hearings haven't even started. And even if he was on the court today, the odds that Roe versus Wade is going to be overturned are still pretty low. And even if it was overturned, the odds of a woman still being able to have an abortion in this country would still be very good. So what is everybody freaking out about? Well, despite all of the fairly obvious logic surrounding Kavanaugh's nomination and the question of abortion, the Democratic Party has seized on this idea that abortion is in jeopardy and we got to save abortion. I love that. We've got to save death for children. Joe Ganim. How do we know Joe Ganim, Stu? He's a Democrat in Connecticut. We used to live in Connecticut. I know the name Joe Ganim. He's now running for governor in Connecticut. And he says that the threat to abortion, let me just say, people in Connecticut, how do you do it? Seriously, how do you do it? Do you know, have you ever heard of Texas? It's like not, they're not taxing you to death. They're not driving jobs from the state. They're not doing crazy stuff. Our assembly, our government only meets every 2 years. It's great.
And they somehow run a much larger state. However, I will say, growing up in Connecticut, I do remember when they said, because they had no state income tax.
Yeah.
And they said, we're going to implement it for an emergency purpose, and it's going to go away really soon.
Mm-hmm.
It's no big deal. Mm-hmm. The governor ran, and he said, you know what? We're not going to implement it. But when he got in, he realized how bad it was. Mm-hmm. And they had to implement it for just a short time.
Just an emergency.
And I assume that expired a long time ago.
No, it hasn't. No.
Are they still collecting?
Surprisingly.
They haven't raised it or anything,
no,
right?
No, surprisingly.
Oh, they haven't raised it higher than it was initially.
No.
Have
done that.
Okay, yes. Okay.
Yeah, but that was only for an emergency.
Oh, okay, good.
Anyway, so to get the threat of abortion, it is so urgent that he is vowing in his campaign to protect it by amending Connecticut's constitution. Now, amending even just a state constitution isn't, you know, a small feat. In Connecticut, it requires approval from both chambers of the state legislature. If it passes, it requires voter approval through a referendum and then the governor. So let me see if I'm finding the logic here. You want to amend your constitution to guarantee your right to kill an unborn child just in case a judge whom you've already determined is the enemy gets confirmed to the Supreme Court. Seems logical. That's what if I were looking to vote for a governor, that's the one I would vote for. You know, the hell with the taxes and the state falling apart and, you know, actually having to sell assets on the open market to be able to meet, you know, your bills. Forget about all that. I'd go for this. Ganim says, whether it takes 2 years or 3 years, certainly it is worth the effort. Could take two sessions of the General Assembly. He says if he wins the governor's race in November, he could, not that he will, he could introduce this amendment as early as January. Why the rush to cement the right to exterminate more babies? Why is it everyone is so... this is the most important thing ever. Narcissism, greed comes to mind. But mainly because Kavanaugh and the president who nominated him. That's what's really driving this.
It's
Thursday, August 9th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, if you look at the headlines in the mainstream media, you are going to see a story about some guy. We don't even know who he is. Some guy who had 15 kids. He was out in the middle of nowhere in a compound doing exorcisms. And he's training kids to kill. Why, my gosh, he's got to be an NRA member. He's got to be a crazy Christian with those exorcisms. No, uh-uh. No, when you actually hear the names and then look the names up, you realize this is an Islamic extremist camp where they have 15 kids and they're training them to shoot other children in schools. There's also a neat little tie to Linda Sarsour. But the media can't be bothered with all of that. This is really about guns. This is what this is really about. Andrew McCarthy is with us. He's a contributing editor of the National Review. Hello, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great, Glenn. I think probably we could say guns don't kill people. Sharia supremacism kills people.
Yes, I would think that would be a good headline. It would be a good headline. So, Andrew, tell me about this guy. Tell me what this is.
Well, the guy who is at the center of this incident down in New Mexico, Glenn, is named Siraj Wahaj. And that name is a blast from the past because he is a guy who came up in our investigation of the blind sheikh that led to the trial of those characters after the World Trade Center was bombed.
So if anybody doesn't know who you are, explain your connection to that, Andrew.
I was the lead prosecutor in the blind sheikh case back in the mid-90s, and we convicted about 12 jihadists for actually the main charge was a seditious conspiracy to make war against the United States, and it included the World Trade Center bombing and a plot to bomb the Lincoln and Holland tunnels, the FBI's Manhattan headquarters, and the like. So,
okay, so now
kind of head of the curve.
The father, the guy who you know, because he was a character witness for the defense of the blind sheikh. So he got on the stand and he was, oh, this guy's great. Tell me about him.
You know, it's very interesting, Glenn. He precisely didn't do that. And his testimony was one of the most interesting parts of the whole trial. I was a much better Weasley lawyer back then than I am now. So we had put out a letter at the beginning of the trial. In most of these big conspiracy cases, the government's required to tell the defense who the unindicted co-conspirators are, other people who come up in the evidence who aren't listed in the indictment. And he was one of the names we gave. But we didn't identify him specifically as a co-conspirator. We said that we reserved the right to call him that.
Okay.
So he was somebody who hovered around the investigation, but he was not implicated in the main plots that we had. So he wasn't charged. But the interesting thing about him is he is a committed Sharia supremacist. He was actually the first Muslim imam to give the opening invocation in a session of Congress. He was a fairly prominent guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he was very open about his beliefs, which were, you know, he's a dyed-in-the-wool Islamic extremist. And he was asked by, I think some of these defense lawyers thought that he was going to be really helpful to them. And one of them, who was a blind sheikh's lawyer, said, "You never heard anything about the blind sheikh coming to the mosque and saying that we should rob banks for the jihad." And Siraj said, "Well, you know, as a matter of fact." So wait a minute.
So is he just he's not a guy who thinks it's wrong. He's just unapologetic about it because it.
Correct.
Okay.
Right. And if you had such a person, and he had a son who, by the way, was about, 15 or 16 at the time. And then you learned, flash forward to 2018, that this is how the son turned out. How shocking is that?
Not at all.
Right. So yeah, I think that there's two things, Glenn, if I may, about this that are kind of disturbing. One is I looked at the reporting from CBS and the AP this morning,
mm-hmm.
and it seems to me like we're still doing the Obama administration countering violent extremism, where we're not supposed to factor in the ideological component of this, and we wait until something horrific happens.
Mm-hmm.
So they say here that the FBI did an investigation here that went on for a couple of months, and they decided that they didn't have enough probable cause to get a search warrant for the compound. And I mean, that sounds crazy to me. I don't mean to laugh about it, but I feel like I've been hitting my head against the same brick wall for 25 years. If you got a bunch of people who are operating under an ideological system where they consider themselves to be at war with the Western society, and they're living in a parallel society, as it were, in New Mexico, and you don't think that that contributes to the probable cause, given all the evidence we have of what the link is between the ideology and the violent action? I just think that's crazy.
So Andrew, tell me what they did find when they went in there.
Well, they found lots and lots of firearms. Evidently, they have found human remains, which haven't been identified, but are suspected of being the younger Wahaj's son. We don't know. We should stress that, at least as far as I know, that hasn't been
confirmed.
And they have found evidence, as you pointed out at the beginning, that essentially they were schooling these kids who were there, who, by the way, were being held in these really awful, dilapidated conditions. But they were being schooled in Sharia supremacism, including the notion that they are at war with the West, and they were being trained to commit violent actions in schools, which is, you know, I mean, if you're going to take this ideology seriously, that's what it teaches.
So where did these kids come from? They were 15.
Yeah, I don't know exactly whether they're all local or, you know, whether people move from great distances to come there. But I think the disturbing thing is that you do have some of these sort of parallel societies within a society that pop up in areas of the South and the Southwest.
So
they haven't gotten a lot of attention, but it happens.
Now, this weekend, the white supremacists, which is supposed to be a big zilch and very low turnout, having a big white supremacist march, and the media is going to make that into the, you know, they're the most dangerous people in the country. Well, they're somebody that you should watch. This is actual. These are people who are actually training kids to kill. And there's a connection to Linda Sarsour. Have you seen this, Andrew?
Yeah, well, I know that there's a Siraj Wahaj the Elder connection to Sarsour. And in my experience, Glenn, a lot of these people end up running in the same circles.
Sure.
I mean, I used to have to look at this a little bit more carefully. So you'd see these conventions that they would have every few weeks or so. And it's always the same names that come up again and again. And most of them have some kind of tie to an organization that is either, you know, quasi-formally the Muslim Brotherhood or influenced by the Muslim Brotherhood or what have you. But it's a network that's been operating here really since the 1980s.
So she gave a speech at the last ISNA conference, and she praised Senior as her mentor, a guy who meets with her on regular occasion, somebody that when she gets down, encourages her, teaches her about Islam, et cetera, et cetera. What does that say about her?
Well, it says that when we talk about Islamic extremism, nobody wants to talk about what it is they're being extreme about. You know, we just sort of cavalierly use that expression. And I am here to tell you that if you subscribe to this belief system, that is the people who do, whether they are trying to move the Sharia supremacist agenda along the lines of, legal action, media action, and that sort of stuff, or you are the pointy end of the spear, who are doing, you know, the kind of teaching and direct action that Siraj the Younger appears to have been involved in. This is all under the umbrella of the same threat to the West And I know, you know, people want to throw stuff at you when you say that, but it's a fact that Linda Sarsour and Al-Qaeda have a lot more in common than, say, Linda Sarsour and you and me. And, you know, that's the world we're living in, whether people want to face up to it or not.
Andrew, you've always been a clear thinker and an outspoken advocate for actually looking the problem in the eye. And I appreciate your service and your time today. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Glenn.
You bet. Andrew McCarthy, he's contributing editor of the National Review and lead prosecutor on the Blind Shake case back in the 1990s. How long will it be before? Do you think anybody will do a serious story in the mainstream media on Linda Sarsour and the Blind Shake and the father and the... Think anybody will tie those together?
I mean, I did see CBS did talk a little bit about the ties between this incident and the father.
But won't take it any farther than that.
You know, I don't know. I mean, again, you take the little bits and pieces where you can grab them.
All right. I want to talk to you about My Patriot Supply. I don't know if you've seen the headlines recently, but wow, things could change quickly. You imagine if they would have taken these 15 kids, put them in 15 different schools. They would have had a coordinated attack on one day. Can you imagine what that would have done to our country?
I mean, it changes it completely.
If you do what, you know, Beslan, look it up. Be careful because it's horrifying.
Horrible.
But if you look at the attack that happened in Russia, if that would happen here in America, I think it would shut our economy down. Nobody's going to let their kids go to school. If you had serious terrorist attacks on schools here in America, you're not sending your kids.
You hate to even talk about it. But I mean, we take a more recent example of the shooting at the softball field 1 year ago, which, I mean, you know, thankfully was not as successful as the guy wanted it to be. But if it was, you're talking about, you know, 10% of all elected Republicans in Congress.
Crazy. It's really, really crazy.
It's a big deal.
We have all kinds of things that could happen overnight. And, you know, you don't want to worry about them. I don't anymore. It's a little shocking how relieved you feel once you have a food supply ready for you. Once you know that, you know, it doesn't matter what comes with my job, doesn't matter what comes in the world, I'm going to be able to take care of my families and my family's needs. It's shockingly, it's a real relief. So whether you're in California and you've been looking at these wildfires, have something that you can grab and go with. My Patriot Supply has it. Dozens of emergency food kits, as well as, you know, water filtration systems that are gravity powered, all at MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com. Take the pressure off of yourself. Get yourself prepared. Bite by bite, step by step, MyPatriotSupply.com.
Okay, so right. So right. I don't know. I don't understand my country anymore. Right now, Vice President Pence is giving a speech to drum up support for a new space force. Now, I don't know why I want to say it. Space force.
Does feel that
but,
way.
But they want a new space force. And, you know, what do they know that we don't know? Why do we need a space force all of a sudden?
This is the open of every mediocre sci-fi movie in history. Like, they just
we don't have a reason, but who's gonna need a space force? We're gonna put that together.
Who's gonna run that?
Jeff Goldblum.
That would be really good.
Going to run it.
Yeah, I like that. Okay. So you have Jeff Goldblum running our space force, and you're right. It's like, there's no, you know, hey, we got some satellite issues. We're gonna go up there. No, there's a big huge asteroid coming towards us. That's what it is.
And again, this is not like, hey, we want to explore space. This is, we need a sixth branch of the military. That is how they're selling it. You need a military space force.
I mean, I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt that it's not just, that sounds cool, let's do that.
It does feel like that. Because it would be cool. Jason, who works here, has a Space Force t-shirt.
Does he?
Yeah, you haven't seen him wearing it?
No.
He was worn it to work a couple of times. It's actually, it looks like it says Star Wars, but if you read it, it says Space Force. because it is kind of like a fun thing. It's a toy that sounds like a fun thing to have.
I don't think we need to be buying toys.
In the situation we're in, which I don't know if anyone's noticed, incredible. The amount of debt we are currently putting on, and by the way, it's getting worse, not right. better, worse.
Right.
I don't know if building a space force is really what I'm looking for at the moment.
I mean, I know they're making the case, but I don't know why this sounds just doesn't sound good to me. It just doesn't sound like what we should be concentrating on, a space force. But, you know, Jeff Goldblum, he's never wrong in those movies. Never.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I am sitting in a room full of just Neanderthals right now. I asked Pat, what do you feed your dog? What do you feed your dog?
No idea.
What do you feed your dog?
I don't even know if my dog?
Dog
eats. Does it
Is it alive still?
I think. Okay. I think so.
Probably eats then.
See, it's obnoxious yapping from time to time. Yeah. Hear it.
What do you feed your dog?
Whatever Amazon ships on our subscribed delivery.
I earlier started this story. We haven't been able to finish it yet, but I want to just give you a little bit more. When my boyfriend and I got our first cat, Pete, we fed him Friskies.
Didn't know you had a boyfriend, but that's cool.
No, this is a story that I'm
going to
tell.
Oh.
I know
important
because...
clarification right there.
Yeah. I know that we were being judged for buying pet... this is a quote... quotation marks food.
So how are they spelled? It's pet, then what? Dash
a,
dash
dash dash a h e m pet quotation marks food. Mm-hmm. Because we were at the time living in Berkeley, California. Pete came to us from a relative in Kentucky, and to ease the cross country move, we just fed him the same Friskies that he'd been happily devouring.
Oh no!
But we're not monsters.
Oh, you could have fooled me.
Yeah.
Sounds like it.
So they go into how the person at the pet store looked at them and gave them this horrible, you're a monster look.
Because they feed their cat Friskies?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pet food has become a fraught for me now. What once was a simple choice between wet and dry food now entails selecting from a dizzying array of corn-free, potato-free, rice-free, oat-free, organic, grass-fed, cage-free, frozen raw meat, alternative proteins like kangaroo and alligator, specific diets for purebreds from Maine Coons to miniature schnauzers, and, of course, vegetarian and vegan formulas.
Plus, you're not going to feed it anything that's... like has gluten in it, are you?
I hope not. So when I heard about a Berkeley-based startup called Wild Earth that was experimenting with sustainable clean protein for pets,
finally
made from a fungus called koji for dogs and lab-grown mouse meat for cats.
Mm. I've been an advocate of this for how long?
Oh, as long as I've been in the
40s,
sure.
I think.
I was intrigued. Okay, hang on just a second. Lab-grown mouse meat. Now, this is not like, hey, we got a scientist together and we're pulling some protein from this. This is meat grown in a lab.
Mm.
Okay? In June, I met him at a vegan dog-friendly cafe in the Bay Area. And he ordered cheese rolls made with tapioca and coconut. Anyway, he goes on to talk about how it's super intense what you feed your animals. And so he's working with biotech startups, and they measure or they make new meat for these animals.
Mm.
He said, why am I feeding animals to animals? Okay, it's just not consistent with my personal ethics. Well, I mean, animals eat animals. That's what animals eat. Mm-hmm. Some, not all. Mm-hmm. Okay, he said, so they launched it, and they first made dog treats made from koji. It's a fungus. That sounds good already. It's traditionally grown on grain to make soy sauce, miso, sake, and vinegar. Later, it's become popular among foodies. I know I eat it all the time. He then says, lest we forget about the cats, mouse meat now is being made in a bioreactor.
A bioreactor.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way,
maybe we do need a space force.
He does.
This is the type of story.
I'm moving off this planet soon. Mm. I have to. He does say that he is a dog food and cat food manufacturer that believes that all CEOs that make this should eat their own product. And so he eats the dog food, and he's proud of it, okay? And he doesn't have a problem with it. But this new thing that they're making, it's mouse cells that grow the mouse meat from the...
You seem to be struggling with this story.
Well, from the serum derived from fetuses inside of slaughtered cows. So when they slaughter a cow, if there's a fetus, a baby cow, they take that cow and then they get all the yummy stuff out of that. And they and they put it in
there's
a lab.
There's yummy stuff in that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And
I wouldn't
serum.
Have thought.
The serum.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And
the
so
yummy
they,
serum.
The serum?
Mm-hmm.
He says it grows mouse meat.
Mm.
And he said right now it has kind of a runny texture.
Hmm.
But it's the same as mouse meat. When she asked, would you eat that? And he said, you know what? This is a quote. You know what? Yes. Yes, I would taste it. No, tasting and eating, not the same thing, dude.
Yeah, what was it? Fear Factor? They used to eat like spiders. They didn't decide, I'm going to start eating spiders now. They tasted it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. So this is a whole story. This story goes on forever. It's an Atlantic story about how this person in Berkeley is so tortured by Friskies, and you know, what are the ethics? Because I'm a cat parent. No, you're not a cat parent. You're not a cat parent. No, you own a cat, and you control the life of that cat. Set it free. Set it free.
I think this is a sign, though, of our society really improving. Because
is
if
it?
You can, I do. Because if you can be bothered by that, I mean, people in the middle of World War II in London were not bothered by what they were feeding their cat.
Yes,
right?
Like we were eating cats.
Right. Venezuela right now, they're legitimately, literally eating dogs there to stay alive.
It is a good sign if it didn't come with all the angst. Oh, I don't know. I mean, mouse meat.
So
I mean, they don't even think about. Wait, that's a slaughtered cow. Oh, I want to be ethical. It's a slaughtered cow that had a fetus. So you're taking a fetus out of a mama cow and just harvesting new kinds of meat out of it.
It's a very strange story. But if you believe like the documentary, the Matrix, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that.
Mm-hmm.
But they talk about how people are always going to have angst. They're always going to have angst. They're always going to have their problems. And the people who controlled the Matrix had to make the Matrix a little bit more negative because
right.
people couldn't deal with it when it was so positive. That's kind of the situation here, right? People are always going to have angst. You might as well have it be about things that are in comparison,
yes.
trivial.
Yeah, I can see that.
Right?
I would like to be outraged by Friskies. That would be great. Yeah, it would be.
And
if that was our biggest problem.
Think of the list of problems you got to clear out before you get to Friskies.
Yeah.
It's way down there.
Think of the list of problems we haven't cleared out, and that's still what they're focused on.
Yes.
That's a problem.
Yes.
They're going to have something to answer to on
yes.
the other side. We all do, but
yeah.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's asinine.
So help me out, Stu, or I mean, Pat, with the latest from Michael Moore.
Oh, that fat lump is
no, that's not
brilliant.
No, that's not. It's not the way to approach it.
I can't approach it any other way today.
All right.
I just can't.
All right.
It's beyond me. His new thing is Donald Trump is the last U.S. president. And
oh, really?
His thing is F hope, because it's the lazy way out.
Hope.
F hope. Seriously. F hope. F despair too, but F hope. Hope is passive. Hope gives you permission to let someone else do the work. Hope leads people to believe that tax returns or a P-tape or the FBI or an adult film star will save the country. Hope and the passivity that comes with it is what helped us get here to begin with. It's the lazy way out.
Do you think there's anyone on the left, anyone that now looks at me and says... He was pretty rational compared to this.
He was downright positive about Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm.
Compared to these guys, we were. Compared to the absolute absurdity that's going on now, we were Barack Obama fans.
it's almost that crazy.
It is almost that crazy.
We almost celebrated him in comparison. he claims he's got this new documentary coming out on September 21st, Fahrenheit 11/9. Ooh. I heard, is that clever
or what?
It is.
No, what is 11-9
I think it's the day after the election.
The day after the election.
Day after. Mm-hmm. I heard you going through, I think the other day on Pat Gray Unleashed on The Blaze, by the way, that you can listen and watch every day. I heard you going over the all-time documentary numbers.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why he's coming back to Fahrenheit 11-9.
Yeah.
Because Fahrenheit
9/11
was the most successful documentary by like 1,000%.
Yeah.
It is
by a ton.
Yeah. I mean,
well, he got an Oscar for it.
He did. That's right. No, he got an Oscar for, wasn't it Bowling for Columbine? He got an Oscar for. I can't remember. He made the speech in that era, though. The famous speech where he got, where even Hollywood booed him, which is one of my favorite moments.
I don't remember that. Remember, oh, please refresh my memory.
I was like, I want to say 2004-ish, and he had made, I think he got an Oscar for Bowling for Columbine, if my memory doesn't fail me. And he went on stage and he just started going, "We oppose you, Mr. Bush," and he started making this ridiculous like political thing, and the crowd just starts booing him. This is at a point where they hate George W. Bush. I mean, the entire nation on the when it comes to Hollywood, because they obviously see themselves as their own, like they've seceded, and they see themselves as their own nation. Everyone there hates him. Even they started booing him for making it so overtly political and ridiculous. I remember loving that moment. It was a
wow, I'm going to have to go back and revisit that.
That should be on a best of.
Yeah.
I think it was. Rainy day gets you down. Watch this.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
But yeah, what was it? I mean, he's the only documentary that's ever made it into
100 million plus.
Nine figures, right?
Yeah. It was 120 million, I think, 125 million, something like that. And I think number two was 25, maybe?
Yeah.
Which I think one of Dinesh's is.
Dinesh's are 20, are up there.
Yeah.
He's up there, yeah.
Yeah. And this one's going to do pretty well. He made, 2.3, I think, the first week. And it was only in 1,000
He thinks it'll make about 13, 14.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Which is good.
That's really good. Really good.
Here it is. Number one, Fahrenheit 9/11, $119 million. Number two is March of the Penguins. So again, we're not in, this is including that type, which is at 77. Justin Bieber, 73. Michael Jackson, 72. The next one is Dinesh. 2016, Obama's America made $33 million. So the next political one would be Dinesh. And then after that, you know, Michael Moore's Sicko, $24 million. An Inconvenient Truth. I mean, here's a movie that affected a generation of political debate. It made $24 million.
And won an Oscar.
And
that
won an Oscar.
Won an Oscar.
Yeah, Bowling for Columbine is also, it was the one he won an Oscar for, $21 million. And then, you know, the next one is Won't You Be My Neighbor? This one that's out now.
Seen
the new
Everyone's
Fred
raving
Rogers.
Everybody's
over it.
Raving it.
He's saying he's like the greatest guy of all time. I'm really interested in seeing it because it's very rare that you see a movie get so universally praised like this.
I'd like to see the dirt on him. I'd like to see the dark underbelly of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
Sometimes his shoes were dirty.
Yeah. No, Mr. McFeely. Come on. Who names that guy? Even as a kid, I was like, Mom, I shouldn't trust. When you're talking about candy from strangers, it's that guy, right? Mr. McFeely? Come on. What's up with that?
It's questionable on that one.
Yeah. Could have been like Mr. Smith.
Yeah.
Might have been better.
Yeah.
Jones. Yeah. Or something like that.
By the way, Rotten Tomatoes, 99% for Won't You Be My Neighbor. Who's the one critic who's like, you know what? I just don't like Rogers. He seems like a bastard to me. That trolley, I don't trust it.
But you shouldn't trust the trolley. No. And the king, he was stupid. I don't know what was happening to us at that point.
So I'm going to be interested to see. He says, Michael Moore claims there's a real insurgency taking place, and it's not coming from the Democrats. He doesn't want to divulge too much, but he says there's true resistance.
Oh, there is. It's called Antifa and the socialists.
That's what I think he's talking about, and apparently he's going to feature some of that in the movie. So
it's an interesting time to turn your party overtly to Democratic socialism.
And to radicals.
It really is an interesting time to do that. Because, I mean, you can do that at any time, right?
Yeah.
But right now, let me give you the highest. These are the worst performing currencies against the U.S. dollar. Okay? You know, like, for example, India, -7% over the past year. Okay? Haiti, -8%. That's not good. Ethiopia, -18%. That's really not going well, right? Mm-hmm. Argentina, -57%. That's terrible. The Sudan. I mean, look, we know what's going on in the Sudan. It's the worst thing that's probably ever happened. It's a national, a global, catastrophe. Mm-hmm. -170% for the dollar. Venezuela, -2 million percent.
2,000,000% in the moment where that is occurring. They're like, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is the way to go.
Unbelievable.
Incredible.
Thank you very much, Pat.
Pat Gray.
I wish I could listen to him for like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah, like maybe like if he had his own show on like Pat Gray Unleashed or something.
That'd be
where
good.
You could watch on the Blaze Radio and TV networks. And if you didn't get enough there, maybe you could watch him on the news and why it matters, happening at 5:30 p.m. on the Blaze, as well as
right after my show.
Top news podcast as well.
Huh.
You get on iTunes and you get to hear me and you get to hear Glenn and you get to hear Pat and Doc and Sarah. It's a great crew. Fun.
Owning a home has never been easier, and it continues to be a great investment. But, you know, whether you're buying your first home, your next home, an investment home, or you're refinancing, let American Financing customize the right loan program for you. They're going to get you a pre-approval, a letter really fast, so you know exactly how much home you can qualify for. And you can expect faster loan processing thanks to an in-house underwriting and decision-making team. So this is not a company that is controlled by the banks. This is you're not going to be talking to a salesperson when you call up and you go to a bank loan. You know, gee, I hope they give us the loan. No, they're selling you a loan. You're paying a lot for that service. They're not giving you a gift. At American Financing, their salespeople, if you will, are not salespeople. They're customer service representatives. And so when you are there, they're working for you and they're going to the banks and they're saying, this one, what's going to happen? This is the best loan we can find. It fits your financial needs. And they're not making money on that deal with you. They're licensed in all 50 states. So call American Financing now. It's 800-906-2440, 800-906-2440, AmericanFinancing.net.
American Financing Corporation, NMLS 182334, www.nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
Glenn Beck.
Hey, tonight, 5 o'clock. Do not miss it. Your chance to go one-on-one. You can call in on the TV show. It's All Phones Thursday. And you can make that call 888-727-BECK. You should call about 4:45 Eastern time to get in line. It is wall-to-wall phones with you today on the
Glenn
Blaze TV.
Beck, Mercury.